side to me. Miss Cook, you may continue.
I can remember the time when I was in school at Elm Street, and at that time it was not Elm Street High, it was just Elm Street School, because we had our high school and our grade school was combined into just one small school and offered it near my community. And at that time, I believe Dwight Eisenhower was in office. He was a Republican. And during the time, I never experienced anything because I didn't know if we were having hard times or not. The times were just times to me. And my parents really didn't experience hard times because they had experienced hard times all the time. So it was just a way of living. So things were not open up anymore for them. They were just surviving. And but surviving with pride. We earned our own way. There was no welfare, and there was no food stamps, and there was no food from the government commodities that they had or going around. We never experienced any. My dad provided for us as best he could, doing what he did by working. While attending high school, as I said before, we had some very dedicated teachers, and they worked very, very hard, and they worked closely with as a child with Eisenhower being president, the only thing I remember about Eisenhower was that he always came to Georgia, Augusta, to do golfing, and that was the most noticeable thing that I remember is that President Eisenhower was coming to Augusta to play a game of golf. Those are the things that I knew about him. I don't remember any other things that he did that were outstanding that touched my life. I remember President Nixon, I believe, was the one. Well, Vice President, he was on the ticket with the man at that time, and I can't remember, I guess he came after him. That was nothing that I remember that he did. They did no more for the race, black race, than, you know, they did nothing that was outstanding that I could think of. Then that was the big turnaround that came, the really, really big turnaround for our race of people came when John Fitzgerald Kennedy became president. That's when it really, really made a difference. So that if you were poor and you didn't know that you were experiencing hard times, this is when you really saw that something was happening. And at this time, this was the time when there was a man named Martin Luther King Jr. came on the scene also. So you had all these clashes, and Lyndon Baines Johnson was President Kennedy's, he was the vice president to Kennedy, and he was from the South. And to me, their backgrounds were kind of opposite. Lyndon Baines Johnson came up where he was working, a hard worker, and he had to work his way up to where he was, and then President Kennedy, his family always had money, but there they were as a team that were working together for the good of all people. And then the thing about Dr. King when he was in Alabama and talking about the ones that could not vote, I never thought about, because I remember all the time the idea of voting was very, very important in our community. Are in our little city for black people. I don't know if they knew who they were voting for or what they were voting for, but they were always included. Some of them were like even enticed to vote because some of the candidates would have drivers to go around and to get the people who could not get to the polls. And they would have their drivers to go and to get these people and to carry them to the polls on voting day. So this was a thing to encourage them to vote. And what, I don't know if they understood. I guess if they liked the people they were voting for, they voted for them. And because the issues at that time, we were really not being, we were not being hurt by anything that was going on, that was happening in Birmingham at that time. As a matter of fact, we didn't really know what it was all about until it really, really happened when Dr. King was there. And we were finding out there are people who are really, really not experiencing the opportunity to vote and express some things. We did not know how hard it was. We were here in our little small place, never not knowing what was going on in Alabama, although it was not that far from us, but we did not know what was going on. At this time, this is the time when Charlene Hunter, I believe, was trying to get into an all-white college, I believe. May have been in Alabama under George Wallace. I remember it was on television. I remember observing every day that George Wallace stood in front of that door to say that they would not be any, I don't know if you call them blacks or colors at that time, colored people coming in the school of Alabama at that time, as long as he was governor of Alabama. And he said that if he had to stand in front of the door to bar it, he would. And every time they came to go in to register, he would be there, and they could not go. Finally, President Kennedy sent down, or he made it known, that he was sending the troops in, and that they were coming to escort these two young people, one Charlene Hunter, and I don't remember the black male. He was coming, they were coming to escort them into the school. And then whatever it took to remove him, that's what they would do. So the person in charge, the commander in charge, approached George Wallace and told him what the deal was, and that these students were going to register whatever means it took for them to register. And he did ask him to remove, to please step aside. Well, as a result, Governor Wallace at that time took out this paper that he read about, and I don't remember what it was he read, but he did step aside, and I guess he got an ovation for putting up a good fight. But he stayed fast in his beliefs in about where blacks were supposed to be and where whites were supposed to be. It was not until George Wallace was shot or assassinated by a bullet that he got a change of heart. At that time, he sort of like saw the light when he became a Christian. I remember seeing when he was shot. I remember seeing when his wife fell on him after someone shot him at a gathering. As a result, they thought that he was dead, but he wasn't. He lived through it. Something else, I experienced in President Kennedy's shot, all of these things, I was able to see them firsthand. I remember when Dr. King was assassinated. All of these times were very, very hard times, and they were very, very difficult times to experience. I remember when Dr. King was shot that night, I was working at Goodyear Mill. And some of the workers there who were females, they were going around making fun about why they were hauling, quote, Dr. King's body around, you know, on them horses and things like that. Just being smart. But, you know, you don't react and you don't respond to someone who is not, you know, when they're trying to get a rise out of you, you just ignore it. As a result of some of these things, the Vietnam War was going on at that time also. We had soldiers who were there. This was also the time when Khrushchev and President Kennedy was having a confrontation about the Cuba having their warheads pointed across the water, Florida, and where they met head on. at that time, I was at Morristown Junior College, and I was very afraid about what would happen. But President Kennedy, I really believe that he meant what he said, but I think he was very level-headed in what he did. I think he was a very, very brilliant president. Also, at that time, you know, this was a time that my husband was there, but we were not talking, we didn't know each other at that time. These are some things that affected us, and it hit home about people not being able to vote, people who were not registered, and then that's when we found out that people who were not being able to vote, when they went down to vote, they had to know some kind of a, I don't know if it was the preamble to the Constitution, before they were allowed to vote or not, but it was something that they had to recite that they did not know, and if they didn't know it, they were considered not eligible to vote. And I don't know what, I just remember that the people around here did go to the polls and vote because I think they voted over there at the high school. But it was a big thing to vote at that time. It was very much encouraged around here in the community, in the Rockmore community at that time. When I went off to college, I was not involved in any kind of demonstrations or anything at Morristown. It was a small school, very small. As a matter of fact, there was like maybe 200 girls, 200 females, so about 75 men. One dorm for the guys, one dorm for the girls. so we were just there for the education, and we did not participate or we didn't get involved in any kind of civil rights demonstrations or anything like that. When I came back to Georgia, I had been out of college for about 8 to 10 years because I married after I came back. The Vietnam War was still going on. My husband had just gotten out of service, and we were hired in at Goodyear. And I never thought that I would be able to continue my education, as I said earlier. But I was, as a result of this girl who integrated at Barry College. I was able to go on and finish my education with three babies. I was not involved in any kind of civil rights demonstrations at that time either.